See, this is the Campfire Cafe on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you'd
so
drop in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice.
My mother will start to
beautiful,
worry.
Watch your
my father hurry. Will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace.
So really I'd better scurry.
Darling, please don't hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink
put
more.
Put some music on while I pour.
The neighbors might think.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what is this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight now.
Down.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
I say no, no, no,
mind
sir.
If I move up?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense in hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby,
baby
it's cold outside.
I simply must go.
Now, baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is no.
But, baby, it's cold outside.
This welcome has been
lucky that you
so
dropped in.
Nice and warm.
Look out the window at that
my
storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will
like
be there at
upon
the
a
door.
Tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind
gosh,
is vicious.
Your lips are delicious.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I've got to go home.
Baby, you'll freeze out there.
Say, lend me your coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been grand.
I thrill when you touch my hand.
But don't you see?
How can you do this thing to me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
I'll think of my lifelong sorrow.
At least there will be plenty implied.
If you caught pneumonia and
I really can't stay.
Baby,
well, welcome from a cold Nashville, Tennessee. I'm your host, Gary Holt, and joining me for the very first time is our co-host, Bobby Bell, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, Bobby.
And it's 55 degrees here in Albuquerque with a low tonight expected in the low 20s. And our fireplace is on.
Well, it sounds like a heat wave for you guys out there. We're at 19. It feels like 9 right now. So, yeah, we could stand some of that weather back here in Tennessee. But how are you doing? You've been gone almost a month.
I know. I'm so glad to be back in the saddle, as they say. It's wonderful to be back on the air. We had really a pretty intense 60 days of packing and moving and getting settled. Still boxes everywhere in sight, but we're making some progress here in Albuquerque and very eager to explore this area that we now call home.
Well, that's exciting news. But we'll talk more about that later on in the show. But right now, we have a wonderful guest that's joining us today. And who is that?
I'm so excited. We're kicking off the year with Doris Daly calling in from Alberta, Canada.
All right. So Doris kind of holds a special place in your heart, doesn't she?
Oh, she does. She does. She, along with Eli Barcy and Joni Harms, really kicked off what became known as the SCTV-TV Presents the Out West Concert Series. And I just have such a warm affection for all three of those gals. Doris is just wonderful. It's going to be so fun catching up with her.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to talking with Doris Daly in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe. But right now, we want to invite you to grab a big cup of coffee, take a deep seat in the saddle, and maybe grab your cowboy hat. Because when we come back, we're going to be talking with Doris Daly on the Campfire Cafe on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
But there ain't nothing phony about a good riding spade with pony, and that makes my world go round. I don't care about what some folks talk about, no, my world is smaller than all that. I live a simple life, work hard and wear a cowboy hat. A mirror image looking back at you. Eyes are the window to the soul. In the eye of the horse you will find your own. Just live a simple life, work hard and wear a cowboy hats. It's easier said than done, but that's how the West was won. Living off the folklore of the old. It's tested, it's tried and true, it'll work best for me and you. Some call it the cowboy code. Just live a simple life, work hard and wear a cowboy hat. Crazy and things look a little hazy. Not sure exactly how you feel. Just jump up on that silky hide. Take yourself a little ride. Put in perspective what is real. Be faithful to the brand. Always ride with grit and sand. Keeping your eye on the trail. Just live a simple life. Work hard and wear a cowboy hat. Just live a simple life. Work hard and wear a cowboy
Welcome back to Campfire Cafe. We just enjoyed Trinity Seeley's A Cowboy Hat, which is so appropriate for today. Every cowboy poet should have a textured past. And today's guest, Doris Daly, comes from a gene pool that includes ranchers, cowboys, mounties, good cooks, sorry team ropers, Irish stowaways, bushwhackers, liars, two-steppers, and Saskatoon pickers. Born and raised on a family ranch in the foothills of Alberta, Doris's authentic, sparkling poetry has taken her to campfires large and small, to highways, roundabouts, and gravel roads throughout the West, and to concert appearances with the Reno Philharmonic Orchestra, the Smithsonian Folklife Festival, and the Saskatchewan Opera Company. With a performance career spanning more than 20 years, Doris is a frequent performer at corporate and community events, Christmas parties, and cowboy gatherings. No convention center too big, and no community hall too remote. Her fans can't say enough good things about her. Here are some of my favorite descriptions of Doris's poetry and live performances. From Margot Medegrano of cowboypoetry.com, on stage and on the page, she represents the best of the best in cowboy poetry today. And from renowned Western ambassador and cowboy poet Waddy Mitchell, if cowboy poetry was fresh milk and the cream that rises to the top was the very best, then Doris Daly would be very rich and very fattening. Dave Stamey, singer-songwriter, Doris Daly writes like Fanny Spears' Steel Road Bronx, with skill and grace and a lot of class. With her signature cowboy hat, wide beaming smile, and ever-present twinkle in her eye, this Alberta-based wordsmith knows how to make us laugh, remember, ponder, wonder, and determine to seize each day just as she does. Please welcome to Campfire Cafe, award-winning wordsmith Doris Daly. Welcome, Doris.
Hooray. Boy, I've got a lot of people fooled by the sounds of things. Don't let me stop you, Bobby. You're on a roll. Keep going.
We want to hear.
Hey, I don't know whether I want to hear first about the Mounties or the Bushwhackers. That was kind of an interesting introduction.
The Bushwhackers are maybe the more interesting. That was my grandma and her three sisters who bushwhacked up in the Peace River country in northern Alberta.
Oh, wow. Wow. And about the Mounties. Tell us about the Mounties.
Well, in Alberta, in the 1870s, here in Western Canada, Alberta wasn't even a province yet. It was just a big, wild, open space. 300 men marched west in the 1870s, the original troop of redcoats, and my great-grandpa was number 266 of those 300, so he was one of the first Mounties in Canada. And in those days, I don't think they call it a term, he served 6 years with the Northwest Mounted Police, is what they were called then. And he was rewarded with 160 acres of pasture land in the hills of southern Alberta. It was an incentive so that these fine young men wouldn't, you know, hop on the train and hurry back east to Montreal or Ottawa or even Winnipeg. They wanted to encourage settlement out west. So imagine that, a young lad who had nothing in Ireland came to the new country, joined the Mounties. So Western Canada was very, very good to him and all the others who came west, really, with nothing more than a bit of try in their pocket, and it turned out okay for him.
Wow, wow. What a history. What a history that you have there. Hey,
yeah,
we
so
do
started,
want
so
to
the
mention...
Grand, he starts, so the grand, he starts, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was only going to say, so when he left the Mounties, he started ranching. The brand was registered in 1883. He took the X of the Mounties brand, just a simple X, closed it in on top. It's called the Camp Stool. And so it's been registered since 1883. And I mean, lucky for our family, it's still in the same family, these many decades and generations later.
Wow. Wow. That is impressive and amazing. But now what I started to say just a minute ago, Eli Barcy was going to be with us today. We're going to be playing a lot of music and a lot of poetry from the new CD, Once Upon the West. But Eli's Uncle Joe passed away, and so she is actually at the funeral as we are on the air today. So our sympathy to Eli and her family, and what a good life Uncle Joe lived. He was 95 years old. So our thoughts and prayers are with Eli and her family. But anyway, let's get back to talking about your history. And it's kind of interesting to find out about how you got started in the cowboy poetry.
Well, everybody's story is different. When you're a child, every child grows up, don't they, having only one view of the world, and it's your view. And so my life was pretty normal. Grew up in a farming and ranching community west of the highway, which meant pretty soon the rolling foothills started, and my people were all, my family and all the neighbors were cowboys and ranchers and farmers. And my town where I went to school, it was only 300 people once you got to town. And that sounds, you know, quaint and rural. People gasp, oh, really, that small of a village. I look back and think, wasn't I lucky to grow up in a community of only 300 people? For starters, everybody knows everybody, and so you might think that that's kind of a gossipy situation. No, well, maybe it is that too, but in any small town, everybody's connected in 1,000 different ways. So your school bus driver is maybe your uncle, and the person who teaches Sunday school is also your coach at the curling rink, and the substitute teacher that you get in fourth grade is your best friend's auntie, and on it goes, which is my way of saying, in my little town, everybody knew that Wallace and Melva Daly's girl out there on the farm really liked rhyming words and was writing little skits and songs and poems from a very early age. And so when there was a wedding in town or an anniversary party or a farewell party, the phone would ring at our little ranch house and ask if Doris could write something for that event. And it was just, I wouldn't have been able to articulate back then as a 10 and 12 and 15 year old even girl, but it was just a gigantic affirmation of what it was. I guess I just, some people grow up and they're naturally athletic. They become the hockey players. Some are the fabulous equestrians or the fiddle players. And for me, I just always enjoyed the English language, and eventually that led to stumbling into my cowboy poetry life.
Well, that's so cool. That is so cool. And it's okay if you know the bus driver and the your teachers are all family. So that's a pretty cool thing too. So that's pretty neat.
Well, the eyes of the world are upon you when that happens. So you can't get away with much.
Gosh. Well, we're going to be talking about Once Upon the West today. And I just want to go ahead and start out with one of your great poems. I love this. This is called Farm Wives of Alberta. Let's take a listen to that, and then you might tell us how this one came about when we come back. You're listening to
Absolutely.
Campfire Cafe on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Everybody's different. Diversity rules the day. Still, I slap my head in wonder at the housewives of L.A. They're bosomy and Botoxed, voluptuous of hip, and I don't understand why anybody gives a rip. They're brassy and they're bossy, over-blinged, uber-noisy, and please don't get me started on the housewives of New Jersey. A spree at Neiman Marcus and they're rolling in the clover, cleavage, like the 23rd Psalm. Their cups runneth over. Flirting with a jailbird sugar daddy millionaire, and here's my biggest question, why does anybody care? If you want me as a viewer, scrap those superficial wives and point your TV camera at the gals who have real lives. Farm wives tough as tigers, ranch wives strong and brown, and the ones I know the best, the real farm wives of my hometown. When I was just a baby, when TV was still a dream, these farm wives got together just to laugh and let off steam. Strong and tough and funny and steady as she goes, and they never shopped at Tiffany's or wore designer clothes. They could drive a tractor, fix a fence, load and bale and stack, and bake 6 rhubarb pies with one hand tied behind their back. They had soirees, they had setbacks, skies of gray and skies of blue, and the farm wives of Alberta always got each other through. They buried husbands, buried kids, shared laughter and shared tears, and they've been there for each other for more than 60 years. So when it comes to housewives, you can keep your bling and brass. It's to farm and ranch wives everywhere I raise my fluted glass, but especially to the women you won't see on TV, my mum and all her farm pals who still inspire me.
That is so great. I've never watched any of the Real Housewives, but now I kind of want to.
Well, watch 10 seconds of an episode, Gary, and you'll know why I was rolling my eyeballs very loudly when I watched I don't have a TV, and I don't say that self-righteously. I'd watch TV if there was anything good on there, like for my demographic. But those days are like, the days of Gunsmoke and Bonanza and High Chaparral are long gone. Even Mary Tyler Moore and Cheers, those days are long gone. So yeah. In a hotel room, in a motel or hotel room somewhere, you know, kind of eating red licorice and watching TV and just chilling out, there was a show I had never seen before called either Housewives of New Jersey, followed by Housewives of LA. It's a syndicated series. People know more about it than I do. But I thought, oh, golly, is this... Well, I just despaired that that kind of cheesy, superficial life was even being celebrated. And I thought, boy, if they only knew what real housewives were all about, they should film my mom. And because it's true, when I was, before I was even born, so well over 60 years ago, the farm wives in my town got together every month on a Tuesday afternoon just to laugh and let off steam and eat something good. And they were very clear. They weren't doing a Bible study. They weren't knitting. They weren't doing good deeds. They did all of that anyway. So this was just for fun. And I know when I listen to that poem, I can go up and down the creek and go east of town and west into the hills and name every single one of those farm gals who I was thinking about when I wrote that poem.
That is so neat. Well, I would much rather spend time with the farm wives of Alberta than the housewives of New Jersey.
So. Absolutely.
Oh, gosh. Well, let's talk a little bit about Once Upon the West. You and Eli have been friends and been performing together for a long, long time. How did it come about? Because this is your first project together.
I will give all due credit to Eli. It was her. We had just done a show out here in Alberta. We live about, I don't know, it's a 10 or 11 drive, the two of us. She lives in eastern Saskatchewan. I live in western Alberta. So for us, we see each other throughout the year at various gigs, but it's not as if we live side by side. So she had been out,
right,
I think, during Calgary Stampede time. We had several gigs together. And when she was driving home, for some reason, the light bulb went on and said, why isn't my next album a collaboration with Doris? We love performing together. We do several shows together where as a concert series where it's a set from me, a set from Eli, a little intermission, and we both come back on together. And so we have a 2-hour show ready to go. And it was her idea, or she suddenly slapped her head and thought, oh, there's a hole in our kind of disc repertoire. We should do something together. So it was one or two phone calls later, meaning like on the trip home to Saskatchewan, we called each other twice while she was on the road. And yes, we were in and we already had the concept, and it took a little while to kind of come up with titles and how we would all put it together. But what a joy for the two of us to do this album together.
Well, it is a great, great album. And let's take a listen right now to this is both a poem by Doris and a song by Eli, and it's one called Where Cowboys Ride. So let's take a listen to that, and we'll come back and talk more with Doris Daly on the Campfire Cafe.
Someone rode the trail with me today. We headed west toward a blazing sun. Someone to ride the river with and say, let's cinch up tight and make it a good run. Someone whose handshake made my own the stronger, whose loop was graced and generous, true and tried, who made the music last a little longer and made the trail a sweeter one to ride. He rode ahead before we said goodbye. I turned to give a wave, and he was gone. A better hand might ponder on the why. I just say, ride on, good friend, ride on. Your name is carved upon the star-tossed sky, where life and love and wind and hills collide. Ride on, and know your memory lives on high, wherever west winds blow and cowboys ride.
Someone rode the trail with me today. We headed west toward a blazing sun. Someone to ride the river with and say, let's cinch up tight and make it a good run. Your handshake made my own the stronger. Your loop was graced, true and tried. You made the music last a little longer and made the trail a sweeter one to ride. Someone rode the trail with me today. We headed west toward a blazing sun. Someone to ride the river with and say, let's cinch up tight and make it a good run. He rode ahead before we said goodbye. I turned to give a wave and he was gone. Better hand might ponder on the why. And I say, ride on, good friend, ride on. Someone rode the trail with me today. We headed west toward a blazing sun. Someone to ride the river with and say, let's cinch up tight and make it a good run. Sky where love and life collide. Ride on and know your memory lives on high. Someone rode the trail with me today. We headed west toward a blazing sun. Someone to ride the river with and say, let's cinch up tight and make it a good run. Let's cinch up tight and make it a good ride.
We just listened to Where Cowboys Ride by Doris Daly and also Eli Barcy from their very new CD that isn't even available yet. You're hearing it first, Once Upon the West. Doris, that's just a remarkable, both the poetry and the song. With you living so far apart from one another, how do you actually collaborate on this project?
I wish I knew. I wish I had the five fail-proof steps on how that collaboration works, and we'd quit this business and go into the marketing seminar business. I think there's got to be some magical thing. I don't know. I don't want to sound too doo-doo-doo-doo about it, but Eli and I have some sort of simpatico where she will hear music in something I write, because that sometimes we set out to write a song. And so writing song lyrics, anybody listening, we all know that lyrics look different on the page. There's a verse, a chorus, a verse, and that's not always how a poem looks. So this one was written to be a poem. It's a saying goodbye poem. There was a tragic ranch accident down in the country where I grew up, and woke up one day and we were all getting ready for a funeral. And so could I write something for the funeral? And so pressure was on, and that's the poem that I wrote as a farewell to this young husband and dad, and just 6 weeks earlier, we had done a show, Eli and I, in the little community hall down south, and this dad and his daughter were sitting in the front row. And so we knew him well, and when I wrote I phoned Eli, I said, oh, can you believe it? This has happened, and here's the poem I wrote. And within a week, she had set it to music, mm-hmm. and it's only now that she's recorded it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what a story. It's a beautiful tribute, beautiful piece.
Well, and it's so fitting. I'm glad you chose to play that one, knowing that Eli's off at her Uncle Joe's funeral, mm-hmm. And for anybody who's lost someone recently or in the past, it's I'm glad to pick that one today.
Gary, are you there?
I'm here. I was waiting for you.
Well, you know, Doris, I think sometimes we're coming off the holiday season, but I think for so many, holiday can be very hard if they've lost anyone special in their heart, whether it's their first holiday without, you know, him or her, or whether it's a very recent loss. We were talking about Liz Masterson earlier and the loss of Liz, and I know just going through Facebook friends, a couple of good friends on Facebook of mine lost their husbands very recently, and I think that's part of living, but we need help. You know, we need help with it, those of us that remain. So I felt that piece was just beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Bobby. It's the price we all pay for loving people, for having mm-hmm. people we love in our lives. We know that's the price that we have to pay. And yet when it happens, we all say, really? So soon? And, you know, I think both Eli and I feel like, boy, forever called upon at that time in someone's life, a time of loss or of any kind, or a funeral, boy, is it ever an honor to be entrusted with that moment in mm-hmm. someone's life and try to rise up to the occasion and find some words that help you say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it seems like, especially lately, there have been so many people that have lost loved ones, and so kudos.
Well, and in the album too, in the album, Once Upon the West, we wanted it to feel like a storytelling album. And so we chunked our material into groupings, poem, song, that talks about the rip-roaring, good yippee-yo feel of All Is Right with the West, the just the intrinsic value of Western friendships and what it means to have good neighbors. And then part of anybody's story is when you have to say goodbye to some of those neighbors.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah.
Well, there's another poem that I thoroughly enjoyed that you did, and this is one called Hotel Rules. You want to tell us about this one?
Well, yes, it's part of a trilogy. I did a trail On the Trail trilogy, and so very briefly, there's 1,000 stories to be told about the old trail days, including this one, which is, you know, a cowboy who thought trail life sucked, and he couldn't wait to get to the end of the trail and get off the trail. When I grew up, I had to go to a big town to high school called Fort McLeod, and when you came of age, we all went down to the Queen's Hotel and had our first legal, ha-ha, wink-wink, nudge-nudge, adult beverage, and there was there's a poster, it's a Queen's Hotel, and obviously the hotelier is having fun with us, because it's partly true, but partly exaggerated, but he posted hotel rules that are still posted there at the Queen's Hotel, how you're supposed to behave in his establishment. So I embellished that and imagined one of these trail drovers from Texas, and certainly they did come up our way. That's how the cattle got to Alberta, to the Bar U and the Copperthorne Ranch and the Cochrane Ranch, all the big, I mean, the cattle had to get here somehow. So the trail drive days came as far north as Saskatchewan and Alberta for sure. And I just imagined one of those trail drivers saying enough with this and opening up the Queen's Hotel in Fort McLeod, Alberta.
right. Well, let's listen to the poem and come back and talk more with Doris and with Bobby on the Campfire Cafe.
I was a Texas drover. I was a horseback man. I rode to South Dakota and I rode to Old Montana. Old timers call them glory days, but when I reminisce, it's when I got to Canada and said, to hell with this. It was all a bunch of romance, if you hear them talking now, but believe me, there's no romance in the south end of a cow. When windy has no limits, exhaustion knows no bounds, well, a bedroll on the prairie ain't as pretty as it sounds. When Mother Nature treats you to another lightning show and the critters are stampeding for the fourth night in a row, bovines, beans, and boredom, it was all an endless hell, and I chucked it all in Fort McLeod and bought me a hotel. Now I love the cowboy life. They bring their pay to town, $30 in their pockets, and they throw it all around. Oh, I run a shipshape outfit. I tolerate no fools. Everybody gets along when they follow hotel rules. Everybody up at 6. We need to use the sheets. We use them all as tablecloths and fold the corners neat. Bar is open night and day, 50 cents a shot. We serve everything but water. The best is all we got. Wear your cleanest dirty shirt when asking for a dance. Banjo playing, not allowed in any circumstance. Special rates to gospel grinders, others pay full price. Baths are free. Down at the creek, please rinse your socks out twice. Boots and spurs must be removed before you go to bed. Do not insult the cook if you don't want to wake up dead. So when the cry goes out that the boys are on their way, they're camped out on the prairie and they're coming into play, I thank my lucky stars for each bawling longhorn steer, for each thirsty-throated cowboy who needs a glass of beer. I gave up beans and bacon. I threw my saddle down, swapped it all for feather ticks and a good life here in town. For life as a hotelier, the cowboys get my thanks. And by the way, for what it's worth, I also own both banks.
That was so much fun to write. That is just such a fun with rhyme and just imagining, you know, our fat cat cowboy now owning the bank and the hotel. And so that was so much fun to write that one.
I think you also remind us that that vision of the West that's so romantic, you know, it's not all what it is for so many that really are out there doing it, you know.
It's not all fancy wild rags and nice jewelry that you've got at the Out West store and riding into the sunset, is it?
No, we're all about wannabe. But I do think, Doris, we do have a little try in our pockets. You said that really, really early in the show about try in your pocket. And, you know, you just have such a wonderful way with words, even in just conversing with you, such imagery and your choice of kind of how you,
oh, golly,
you know, how you put them together gives us such wonderful images and short little images of, you know, kind of what you're thinking. Is really delightful. I like to think I have try in my pocket with me all the time as I go about my day.
Oh, of course you, well, you absolutely, you lead the charge for having try in your pocket, Bobby Jean. But I'll tell you what, I'm not cheap and I'm not even frugal, but I sort of am both of those things. And here's the deal with me. Words are free, and words, I'll just step outside of talking about the project for a minute and just comment on the English language. It's, you don't have to plug it in. You're not texting on your phone. It's not a video or YouTube. There's such richness in the English language that many of a certain generation, all of us in this generation, it's slipping away from us. So I'm just rereading, it's not a cowboy book at all, I'm just rereading How Green Was My Valley, the old chestnut by Richard Llewellyn, and just a reminder that all of us, I want to love on the English language so much, and I just appreciate it when people, you really put it through its paces, and I've got a lot to learn, but I do, when I'm writing at the kitchen table, I do, how would I say it? I try to pay attention to what the language wants to do when I, and it's also editing. I go back and rewrite a lot.
Well, you know, in this day and age of, as you mentioned quickly, you know, texting, and gosh, now we're even not texting, we're sending pictures to each other. I have great concerns for what's going to happen with language.
That's why I do love our genre in particular. I think it's true to imagery and storytelling, and boy, long thank you to you for shows like yours, and to everyone who keeps Western music and stories, song spinning in the airwaves, hurtling through the universe, because I feel like our genre is one of the last to actually take care with storytelling and description and kind of a pureness to the language.
Absolutely. Well, I want to go ahead and get to the title cuts. I'll have to say it that way. Title cuts of Once Upon the West, and so this is the reprised version of Once Upon the West by Doris, and then the song by Eli, Once Upon the West. So let's take a listen to that, and we'll be back in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
And so, once upon a starry night, stories of the West take flight, a lilting tune, a loping rhyme, dancing in three-quarter time, a prairie wind, a flickering light, once upon the night. Once upon the storied West, for all who stay and stand the test, songs are sung and stories told beneath the moon of burnished gold. We saddle up, we do our best, once upon the West.
Once upon a starry night, a flickering fire, a distant time. Old cowhand begins to write a cowboy tale in loping rhyme. Something magic takes to flight once upon the night. Once upon an opal moon, a warm chinook, a shoe star. Someone writes a cowboy tune, still played on a fiddle and guitar. Sweet as honey from a spoon, once upon the moon. Once upon a prairie spring, like a knife. What will luck and weather bring to those who choose this way of life? Soon the meadowlark will sing once upon the spring. Thank you.
Once upon the fabled West, may fate be kind, may love abide. To all who stand the timeless test, from the prairies to the great divide. We saddled up, we did our best.
Once Upon the West, Doris Daly and Eli Barcy, and that is from the album by the same name. And Bobby Jean, did I hear you say Wrangler Award for this song?
Oh, this is the first album that we're hearing for 2018, and I would definitely have to be throwing this into the ring of nominations for not only Wrangler Award, which is so prestigious, but this is a tremendous project by two award-winning writers and performers, and they really deserve their due. I think both of these ladies don't get enough recognition, and I'm really hoping that this one just, burns up the airwaves and really gets the nod for the recognition they deserve.
Thank you, Bobby.
How did this song come about?
Well, the project we wanted to be about storytelling through our eyes, through the contemporary eyes of a Saskatchewan farm girl and a rancher's daughter. And so Once Upon a Time led to Once Upon the West. So that was, we liked the title of the project. And I wrote a poem for the project called Once Upon the West. And Eli had every intention. She said, yep, I'll write something new. And when we went to Mooseman, Saskatchewan, to their studio to record the project, this was the first one I laid down, I think, in the recording studio. And she said, that's it. I don't need to write a song. Those are the lyrics right there. That's just how our heads work. And so once or twice, just upon hearing the poem, she had a melody in her head. She had an arrangement cooking. She sent out the charts to the mandolin player in Newfoundland and to the fiddle player here in Alberta. And boy, I think she nailed it. Even like, I'm the one who wrote the words, but it thrills me to hear how much magic and emotion is added with Eli's musical version of the words. I think it's a barn burner song.
Yeah, it's just absolutely great. Absolutely great. So I fully expect a Wrangler Award for this one. I don't know what else is out there, but I love this.
Oh, how sweet. Well, you know what? Thank you. Of course, that's exciting. And wouldn't that be something? All of that. And it's not just a cliche to say, Eli and I, we love what we do. We have some sort of magic between us. This whole album was fun and meaningful and joyful from start to finish, and if people get from it half of what we put into it, like the joy and creativity and fun we had putting into the album, we just hope people take some of that away.
Well, it is absolutely a great album. Well, I want to get to another poem, and this is In Your Next Life. Tell us about this poem.
This one maybe came from a people who know me know that I'm not an avid Facebooker, and I don't want to judge Facebook. For some people, they use it well, not me, and that says way more about me than it does about the world. There was a day when I just saw too many kind of corny things on Facebook, and I thought, I'm gonna make a play on that, and instead of saying all these tender-hearted sentiments for the whole world to see, which in my mind should sort of be private, I came up with my own list of fabulous things to say if any of us ever got another life. So that's how that one came about.
All right, well, let's take a listen to In Your Next Life. It's by Doris Daly.
I don't have a lot of answers. I'm no expert on the truth. The certainties of life were more certain in my youth. I zig when others zag. I'm no oracle or sage. Like a load of dirty laundry, life gets grayer as I age. Let me be the first to say I've got some details missing. Still, it's possible we'll meet up in a lifetime after this'n. Oh, don't think me sacrilegious. Don't judge me as unsound. I'm only speculating. What if there's another round? When you slip your mortal coil, and they're playing lute and fife, I have a heap of wishes if you get another life. May your dog come when he's called. Your kids have common sense. Your neighbor's worthless longhorn bull never jump the fence. May life be all brown sugar, and you ride for 91. May you hold the hand of one you love with every setting sun. May gout never get you, and you dance with limber knees, and a three-day rain blow in on a fresh April breeze. May the silver dust of starlight shine on everything you own. May a grandkid be nearby to program your cell phone. In your next life, may your boots never pinch. May you winter down in Wickenburg and never blow a cinch. Folks, the list is endless. I've barely scratched a start. But the best wish of all comes straight from the heart. In your next life, may you make a friend or two like the friends I've made throughout the West, spouting poems for you. In this life or the next, I'm the richest gal I know, 'cause I'm with a tribe of Westerners no matter where I go. On a stage or in the green room, on the street or at the bar, to find the folks I love, I never have to look real far. So if there is another go-round and your next life comes in view, good friends around the campfire is my heartfelt wish for you. And yes, this list is saccharine. You can choose to trade all these for one soft-hearted banker who will pay your entry fees.
Gosh. I absolutely love your poetry. I love your poetry.
Thank you so much.
All of your albums, all of your CDs are great. I was going back and listening to a show that you had done with us before, and there are just so many great songs. You guys out there in Radio Land, go back and do a Google search, and you can find the last show that Doris was on. But Skunks is one that struck me as just hilarious.
Yep. And The Healthy Life. That may not be the right title, but it's Such a Healthy Life. Something like that.
All the broken parts and the missing thumbs and those are some old timers.
Yeah.
I love those. There's one that really I thought was beautiful. I don't know whether you could do a live poem on the air or not, or whether this one is one that you remember called Hands. Do you remember that one?
I do remember. You know, I do. I could. I
don't
can
want
give
to put
it
you on
whirl.
The spot.
Let me. There's a special pair of hands assigned. Just let me get it in my head, and let's see.
I had while you're thinking about that, I had Waddy Mitchell on the show one time, and so we had several of his recorded poems, and I finally said, "You want to do a live one?" And he said, "Yeah," and he got about one verse and forgot the whole stinking thing, and he said, "Well, pard," he said, "I should have had that in front of me, but."
I'll gladly give it a whirl. It's so old, it's almost new again. Not to be funny, but it's an older poem, and I retired it for a while, and I share Waddy's pain. I tell you what, I rehearse every day, not every poem, but it is hard to keep them all at the front of your mine, but I've done this once. Let me give it a whirl. And just going back to how I grew up, a town of 300 people, and you know all the farms east and west and north and south of you. And I was just thinking of all the people in any Western town that we rely on and love and come running when you need help and are there to raise a wine glass when there's a wedding. So it was kind of my tribute to all the hands that we get to hold as we go through life. There's a special pair of hands assigned to do each task, and to do a job the best you know is as good as you can ask. You can try to stand alone, but your world will start to drift. So the good Lord struck a plan and gave each one a special gift. So God bless the hands that are brown and scarred and rough, but hands that still can help you when the trail is looking tough. Bless the old and gnarled hands, no longer strong or stout, but hands that still can teach you what a handshake's all about. Bless the hands of buckaroos, young and full of pride, that teach us when we get bucked off to get back on and ride. Bless hands that make the saddles, hands that stack the hay, and hands that speak to horses in a mystic, magic way. Hands that till the land, fix the fence, and catch the bids. And cookies hands that punch the dough and slam the beanpot lids. Bless hands that tell the story of a lifetime chasing steers, but hands that aren't too big to gently wipe a child's tears. Hands that reach across for yours to say the table grace. And calloused hands that tenderly caress a sweetheart's face. Bless her soft and gentle hands that wear your ring with pride and show their share of scars and scrapes from standing by your side. Bless artists' hands and sculptors' hands and guitar pickers, too. They're only trying to tell the story in a way that honors you. And if you're feeling generous, Lord, and if you've got the time, even bless the hands of those who write and try to make it rhyme. God gives each hand a gift, and with his grace we'll stand the test. Bless each one. We need each one to build this place we call the West.
Phew. That's fantastic.
That's wonderful.
Fantastic. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. I love that poem. Really has
bless
a lot of meaning.
Bless the hands that push all the buttons in the radio shows, too. And bless all the hands that type the emails and make all this happen. Push all the right buttons.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today. And I know people are going to want to order the CD. Can they pre-order it now?
Yes. Okay, so two or three things. It'll be available on iTunes on January 8th or 9th. I think it's January 8th. Go to DorisDaly.com. Go to EliBarcy.com. And we have lots of information there on how you can... The correct date for iTunes is listed there, and both Eli's website and my website have it available for sale. Eli's, you can just buy it right from her website. For me, what I'd like you to do is shoot me an email, and then we do the e-transfer. Anyway, it's very easy, very very accessible way. So I think that's the best way to do it. It's here in Alberta. It's available at a few outlets, and we will have it at all of our shows. We're both going to be at the Colorado Cowboy Gathering next week, I think. That's in 10 days. Mm. And then Sierra Vista. Eli's going over to Elko, Alpine, Texas. So we'll have it there, of course.
All right. Well, it's a great CD, Once Upon the West, and that's DorisDaly.com, and I think that's EliBarcy.com as well. So, and you can just Google either one of their names, and it'll bring all of that right up. But you have been so much fun, again, to have on the show. And thank you so much for being with us today.
The pleasure is all mine. The pleasure is all mine. Thank you for sending that beautiful, warm air, Bobby Jean, up to Alberta. We're in a nice little bit of a Chinook thaw. God bless you for that. And what a treat to talk to you both. This has been just pure pleasure.
Well, it has been fun to have you on. We're going to close this segment of the show out with one called Good Night to the Trail. Would you like to tell us anything about this?
This is an Eli blockbuster. She listened to my Trail Trilogy, 1881, Hotel Rules, and then I wrote a poem called Goodnight to the Trail, and we wanted to match a song with that. So I think she was driving home from Branson, Missouri. Well, John was driving, let us be clear on that. John was driving, and she got out her little guitar, and she said, oh, I needed something for the Trail Trilogy. And so this is Eli's song to match up with our Trail segment of the project.
All right. Well, this is Doris's Good Night to the Trail, followed by Eli Barcy's Good Night to the Trail. And Doris, thank you so much again for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Come with
much,
me to a place everybody out west, listen. Where all who trod are nature's guest, will ride to the top of a piney crest and gaze at the valley below. Come with me where the cattle graze, we'll tighten our cinches and gather the strays, leathers creakin', the hills are ablaze, and the night might bring some snow. Ride with me as the sky turns gold. Hear the cattle bawl and the magpies scold. Pull up your collar. The wind is cold. Coffee'll taste good tonight. I wish my pen could find the wings to soar with rhyme when the night wind sings. But words are often feeble things to get that job done right. The rhymes won't come. My pen is dry. No poem could capture this sweep of sky. Let's hit the trail and say goodbye to this patch of God's good clay. So mount up, friend. Let's ride for camp. We'll head for the glow of Cookie's lamp, an old cow hand and a saddle tramp. We'll call it quits for today. So ride with me as the light turns pale. See the moon come up. Hear the coyotes wail. Supper's waiting. We say to the trail, good night, old friend. Good night.
Daylight fades to the dimming dusk as I leave this road behind. One more mile on a horse I trust brings a peaceful thought to mind. Who knows what the morn will bring? Hope for sunshine without fail. For now I'll hang my bridal ring and say good night to the trail. Good night to the trail. Good night. Good night to the trail. Good night. Days are long and the nights are short, but this time will soon be gone. I send some notes with a good report of how we're getting on. I don't often e'er complain, except this bread is mighty stale. I've had enough of this rough terrain, singing good night to the trail. Good night to the trail. Good night. Good night to the trail. Good night. His final ride, a new journey has begun. We'll think of him from time to time, and a new song will be sung. The moon will always light the way in its thousand shades of pale. Turn and give just one last wave and say good night to the trail. Good night to the trail. Good night.
Good night to the trail, Doris Daly and Eli Barcy. And what a fun show today.
Oh, so good to be back on the air and to kick things off with Doris and this terrific CD. So much fun.
Well, it's been fun having you back on the air again. It's been too long. So anyway, Out West has a new home, and you guys are getting settled in, so that's all good.
Yeah.
I'll
be happy when we have a few less boxes all around us.
Gosh. Well, it won't be too long till that's all taken care of. Hey, we want to remind folks that immediately after this show, you can, if you're on our website, just click on the box below and catch the Backcountry Horsemen of America on Saddle Up America. And we have a great show lined up for next week. So we want to invite you to come back and be with us again on the Campfire Cafe beginning at noon Central Standard Time, and then stay tuned for Saddle Up America. And next week on Saddle Up America, we'll be back with Robert Eversole. So, Bobby, we're going to hit the trail and say goodbye to you. And we're going to close out the show today with a great song from the High Country Cowboys, and it's called Big Iron. We'll see you next week.
To the town of Albuquerque rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. For the stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was early in the morning when he rode into the town. He came riding from the south side, slowly looking all around. He's an outlaw, listen, running, came the whisper from each lip. And he's here to do some business with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. In this town there lived an outlaw by the name of Texas Red. Many men had tried to take him, and that many men were dead. He was vicious and a killer, though a youth of 24. And the notches on his pistol numbered 1 in 19 more. 1 in 19 more. Now the stranger started talking, made it plain to folks around. Was an Arizona Ranger, wouldn't be too long in town. He came here to take the outlaw back alive or maybe dead. But he said it didn't matter, he was after Texas Red. After Texas Red. Wasn't long before the story was relayed to Texas Red. But the outlaw didn't worry, men that tried before were dead. 20 men had tried to take him, 20 men had made a slip. 21 would be the ranger with a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. The morning passed so quickly it was time for them to meet. It was 11:20 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. About to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today. Texas Red and not clear leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron. When he
tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.